Well, hello, hello, friends. Welcome to the Not Your Child Road Safety Show, a show dedicated to road safety, sprinkled with entrepreneurship, with a hospitality cherry on top. Thanks so much for joining me today. I'm your host, Julia Matthews, aka the Breathalyzer Girl, and owner of Not Your Child Corp, a Canadian company dedicated to, you guessed it, road safety. Check us out when you have a chance at notyourchild.com. Now, as usual, we'll start off our lovely day today with a couple feel-good songs to keep you company behind the wheel. And then we head right into our discussion section, move right back into some more feel-good music, and finally, as all good things come to an end, we close with our quote of the day. So what do you say? Stick around with me for a great show? Well, buckle up your seatbelts and let's dive into the Not Your Child Road Safety Show.
Hey. I got a condo in Manhattan. Baby girl, what's happening? You and your ass invited. So gone and get to clapping. Go pop a phone pad. Pop it for me. Turn around and drop it drop for it. A plan. Drop it for me. I'll rent a beach house in Miami. Wake up with no jammies. Lobster tail for dinner. Julio served that scampi. You got it if you want it. Got it if you want it. Said you got it if you want it. Take my wallet if you want it now. Jump in the Cadillac.
Girl, let's put some miles on it.
Anything you want.
Just to put a smile on it.
You deserve it, baby. You deserve it all. Lucky for you, that's what I like, that's what I like. Sex by the fire at night, silk sheets and diamonds all white. Lucky for you, that's what I like, that's what I like. Lucky for you, that's what I like, that's what I like. I'm talking trips to Puerto Rico, say the word and we go. You can be my flica, girl, I'll be a flico mamacita. A promise that I can't keep. I promise that your smile ain't gonna never leave. Shopping sprees in Paris, everything 24 carats. Take a look in that mirror. Now tell me who's the fairest. Is it you?
Is it you?
Is it me?
Is it me?
Say it's us.
Say it's us.
And I'll agree, baby. Jump in the Cadillac.
Girl, let's put some miles on it.
Anything you want.
Just to put a smile on it.
You deserve it, baby. You deserve it all. Lucky for you, that's what I like, that's what I like. Sex by the fire at night, silk sheets and diamonds all white. Lucky for you, that's what I like, that's what I like. Lucky for you, that's what I like, that's what I like. You say you want a good time, but here I am, baby, here I am, baby.
Talk to me,
say yeah.
Today we are back with our entrepreneurial edition. We had 5 episodes dedicated to our friends in hospitality who work with or around alcohol, and now we're back to regular programming. So we have
a really special guest today, owner and founder of the Wiarton Retirement Home, Miss Dada Sauve. Yeah. She will speak with us today about her journey and how her business could potentially help your loved ones and your family members or your friends. It's going to be a great conversation, folks. So you know my rule. Don't you touch that dial. We'll be right back. Today, we have a very special guest with us today, Miss Dada Sauve, and she's an old friend of mine, and she's been in business a very long time, and we're here, we're going to be speaking about her new venture, well, not really new, very interesting. She is the partner and operator of Wiarton Retirement Residence. Now, Wiarton Retirement Residence, it is a family-owned and operated seniors residence with over 15 suites, or actually only 15 suites, and they offer a home-like environment for, of course, older people. It's nestled in the residential neighborhood of the Bay, only a block away from the downtown core of Wiarton. It's a beautiful place. It's a friendly place. It's a place for your parents or your grandparents. So residents, you know, they enjoy home-cooked meals. and snacks, and they always have someone there available to look after them, 24 hours to attend to their needs. So we have Donna with us, and we're going to speak with Donna a bit about it in our entrepreneurial edition. Talk to us about, what exactly do they provide and how they help families. Donna, good morning. How are you doing today?
Good morning, Julia. I'm doing great, thank you. How are you?
That's great. I'm fine
Yes.
right there. I'm
Well,
fine.
if I know he was very fit before, so if he can get up the stairs, we do have a room available.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. We'll have to cut that out. That's okay. We can cut that out. So tell us, Donna, tell us first of all, what made you start Raritan Retirement Residence? How did that come about?
It was actually meant started out to be a family generate a family business. So essentially, I have an aunt who works in the healthcare industry. She lives in the in New York City. Has worked there as a health care aide for quite a few number of years, and she met a fellow and married him in June of 2019 that lives locally here in Wyerton. So when she was up for her wedding, they came across this building that was it was empty. It used to be run as a retirement home for many years in the past. It was shut down in 2016 when the fire regulations came in and demand all homes had to install sprinkler systems. It was an exorbitant cost. So instead of them moving forward with doing that, they shut the home down. So now, when this property came up for sale, my aunt's new husband had experience in running a retirement home with his ex-wife, and my aunt recently married him, was looking to move to Canada, and they thought that it would be a great opportunity for them to take control of this home and get it up and going again. Because it had been very successful in the past, and it is the only retirement home option available in the Wyerton area. So I essentially got involved with it in terms of I was supposed to be like a back-end investor. That would be a great opportunity actually, because we are an aging population, which is going to just increase. Seniors have actually the amount of seniors have actually surpassed the amount of teenagers over the age of 16. So it's something that is going to be a great need. It is a great need now, but even more moving forward as the baby boomers age and we get an increase in this senior population. So it looked like a great investment to me. So we purchased the empty building in August of 2019 and started working on getting it ready, getting the licensing in order, getting everything ready to open in 2020. So we opened our doors already, February 2020, and then, as everybody knows, the pandemic hit us in March of 2020.
Yes, exactly.
So unfortunately, our timing wasn't great, but and at the same time, it really put a wrench in our plans because now my aunt was stuck in the US. She couldn't come up. Because of the airport lockdowns and all the lockdowns that we had. I just kind of had to jump in and take control and get it up and going. Because now it was an investment. Our family had invested money into this project, so I had to make sure it was successful. So I just quickly learned the retirement home business. And went through the process of getting the license, the fire safety checks done, all the legwork that needed to be done to open our doors, and then utilizing my marketing background to get the rooms filled with residents.
Wow, that seems like so. Tell us some of the struggles that you've had with the pandemic, like trying to keep the doors open after the pandemic. Because I imagine that must have been hard for you to be able to convince people that you were a safe space for people's, parents or grandparents, right?
Yeah, like that was part of the challenge. So just because at that time, you know, there was no vaccination, no nothing. A lot of seniors were dying, especially in long-term care homes. We had lockdown, so there was periods of time during that first year where we couldn't even bring in residents if we wanted to. Fortunately, before we got locked down, that we were told by our regulatory authority that we weren't actually even allowed to bring in any new residents, we had about four residents that had moved in. And keeping them safe is, I think, probably the biggest challenge and worry. In the beginning, you'll recall that there were issues with PPE, like nobody had PPE and we couldn't get any anywhere. So that was a big challenge in the beginning as well. Like you mentioned, guaranteeing the safety of residents and families' loved ones was a worry as well. Fortunately, being in a rural, northern rural community, that was very helpful in terms of there wasn't a lot, as many cases up here down in the larger metropolis locations, so the larger cities like Toronto and Greater Toronto area. So that kind of worked in our favor. Yeah, and a lot of people did hold off moving loved ones into retirement homes and just kind of kept them home just because of that safety aspect as well.
Yeah. It makes sense.
Financial burdens were tough. I would say it was another big one because, you know, only being a third full, not even just having a few bodies and still having all the overhead costs associated with running a home. And the added costs of the extra safety precautions that needed to be implemented. You know, we had to change all our cleaning products to upgrade to products that killed viruses and bacteria, increase our cleaning protocols, purchasing expensive PPE, staffing. That was a big challenge as well, because you had some staff that they just weren't, they just got out of the industry at that point. You had staff there before that, staff were able to work in more than one location, but as soon as COVID hit, that way that requirement was restricted and they had to commit to one place. So a lot of homes lost support that they used to have. Staff that were working more than one location, and we did get hit a bit of that as well. So, I would say like there was a number of different types of challenges.
When did it start to turn around? Do you find, like, tell us when do you find that thing that the tide started turning and you were able to say, you know what, we think we're going to be able to get out of this?
I think I'm going to say probably around December 2021. And that's when we started to come out of that final lockdown, because you'll recall that we were locked down, we'd open up, the numbers would get high, hospital numbers would get high, they'd lock us down again. So we went through this kind of multiple lockdown by the Ontario government throughout 2020 into 2021. So it wasn't until probably end of December where I was full in terms of residents. And so that definitely helped with cash flow. We were running profitable, good staffing. So I think that was kind of when we started to see the tides turn and it looking like a more positive experience.
Well, how hard was it for you to get staff to come back? To get, you know, staff, because a lot of people left that industry, as you said. So how hard was it for you to find good help then?
It was very difficult, and it actually still continues to be, because I'm not sure where everybody went.
That's why I asked you this, because someone else has said the same thing, and I'm wondering if it's across the board with homes like this. So tell us, go ahead, I'm listening.
Yeah, so even discussions I've had with different HR consultants, they've you know, told me I'm not the only one experiencing that. The local long-term care homes, they struggle with staffing as well. even neighboring cities like Owen Sound, where there are a number of retirement and long-term care homes.
Yeah.
You know, you're competing, all these homes are competing for just a handful of candidates that qualify, right, for your needs. So essentially what I ended up doing is I had a really hard time finding cooks. At one point, you couldn't find any cooks anywhere. So I utilized the immigration program, the LMIA program, and actually brought somebody in from India.
Wow.
That's what I ultimately ended up doing to resolve that issue. And with respect to caregivers, I took people with no experience and just trained them.
Right, right. Understood.
So I have a lot of people in my nursing staff that aren't even certified PSWs. They're just uncertified care providers that I took on and trained them on medication management. I trained them through our ORCID online training program on, you know, working in this industry. So, and just hands-on training.
Wow. That's a lot of, it was a climb. It was a climb. So right now, you said that you have about 15 suites, so you can have 15 suites. How many people can you, what's the limit?
So right now we have 11 residents. I have 4 vacant rooms available right now. So our mats would be 15 residents. They're all single suites, single rooms. They vary in size, which determines the cost. So it's based on square footage and location. If you're on the lower level, upper level, facing the bay or at the back of the house. So that all plays into the cost.
Okay. So what about special needs seniors? Do you have provisions for them?
So we're considered independent/assisted senior living, which means our residents are fairly ambulatory, meaning that they can move pretty freely. They come and go as they please. A lot of them, you know, we have a few that still drive. So they go out, come and go as they please. I have one 80-year-old resident. He still rides his bike into town. So
it's kind of like a community then. It's not really
like a seniors community. Yeah. And the other caveat is because we don't have a chairlift due to the age of our building. We weren't able to keep the chairlift that we had when we first opened our home because of the width of the stairs and the change to the fire regulations. Mm-hmm. So any of our residents that live on the second level have to be able to do stairs. So again, that's why they need to be fairly ambulatory and independent.
Right. That makes sense. Okay. So it's not really like because you see, when you have retirement residents, automatically you think, okay, old age home, you know?
You're not thinking. Yeah, like some of our residents need assistance with bathing, but even then it's just helping them wash their hair because they can't really reach back there to get that done properly. And those types of residents are on our lower level. We have 4 suites on our first level. And those residents are the ones that kind of need a walker for assistance. But again, you know, they get around with their walker on their own. You don't need to be there to help them. They're pretty self-sufficient.
Got it. So, you know what? On your site, I see that you guys celebrate birthdays. They look so happy. what other activities do you do with them? Because I think they look like they're having so much fun.
We've done chair yoga with them, and we've brought in people to do performances. Like we have a band that's come by several times called Leaving Tracks, and they do a lot of bluegrass.
Oh wow. Yeah,
nice. And the residents love it. We have one resident, she just like gets up and dances all the time. Every time they come here, she just loves the music. She loves to dance. So we've done events like that. Birthday celebrations, like you mentioned.
So what's like the age group that you find there? What age group? Because I'm thinking, are any of them, do you see any love blossoming between any of the seniors?
No. I think they're done with that.
you know, you always those things, you know, like some of them are widowed.
You know, you've heard stories. Yeah, there's stories, but I don't have any of those types of exciting stories in my home.
Well, that I think that's pretty cool. And you do have 24 hours, somebody there 24 hours.
Like, yeah, we have three shifts. So we have someone there from 7 to 3. Another shift starts from 3 to 11. Then we have an overnight shift of 11 till 7 in the morning.
Wow. Wow. That's
so there's always somebody on site.
And it's right. It's a block from the downtown. So they can.
Yeah, so we're one block from the downtown core, and we're facing Georgian Bay.
Wow, that must be beautiful.
You can actually see it from the porch. So wow. I love the residents, especially this time of year in the summer. We'll like display. We have a patio and chairs out there with the umbrella that residents will like to sit out on the patio and just kind of enjoy the space and look out on the bay, and you can see the boats
beautiful.
Out on the bay.
That's really good for their mind.
And we'll be right back.
Can you hear me?
people are coming there, Donna, what do you find the main concern is, you know, from the families when they come, or, you know, what do you find is a concern of families when they're, you know, submitting their application for their loved one to be there?
Some seniors is loneliness. You know, right. A lot of them are living alone. Their significant other has either passed away or they maybe never had one. So they're right. Home alone. And just being part of a community really is huge with helping with that loneliness. Mm-hmm. In some mm-hmm. other cases, when it's family members that are coming to us, is they're worried about that loved one being home alone with right. No one there to assist them. Either they're not eating properly, or they're not staying on top and properly taking their medication as they should. Mm-hmm. They might be a falls risk, so there's nobody there if in the event that they were to fall or something right. were to happen. So the loved ones are kind of concerned and worried about that and don't right. really want to see them at home on their own.
Right, right. So do you have, I know you have like the bluegrass, the bands come and so forth, but do you have other kind of activities like exercise class or, you know, senior?
We've done some chair yoga, and okay, there's yes. also a local program called the Day Away program that our residents mm-hmm. are welcome to join. It's done just up the street. They have a center in the long-term care home. Mm-hmm. Transportation is arranged, which will pick them up from the wonderful. Home first thing in the morning and take them down there to the Day Away program for the day. And then they have them all day, and they do a number of different activities. And which includes, they actually serve them lunch as well. Mm-hmm. It's sponsored through the local HCCS program, which is the Home and Community Care Support Services, which is mm-hmm. previously known as LHINS.
Right.
How you get registered for that, and they manage that program. So our residents, we have a few residents that do that as well.
That's awesome. That's really awesome. So by the time they come home, they're just tired. They just want to just relax.
Yeah. they had an eventful day. But right. It's good. Gets them out of the home for a bit and meeting other people in the community.
Right. Right. So is there like a central, like a communal place where they can all come down and play games or,
you know? Yeah. So we do have two common areas. We have a common area upstairs, which is a little bit more quiet. And then mm-hmm. we have a common area in the downstairs area just beside the dining room where mm-hmm. A lot of them will congregate and chat, watch a movie. We have movie nights, so they'll watch movies. Oh, that's nice. Yeah.
So they haven't been any
programs.
There haven't been any fights or anything like that. Of course not.
In a communal space. Yes. There will be arguments. You may have many different personalities living under one roof. So you're going to have disagreements, just like with family.
Right, right. So like just who wants to watch what or who wants
yeah.
to.
Fighting over men, no forever, fighting over the remote.
Fighting over the remote. Exactly. I think that's awesome. So let's say, I'm so curious. So is there a bedtime where, you know, things turn off, or is it like yeah. they have access to everything 24 hours? How is it? Yeah.
Yeah. So a few residents have their own TVs in their rooms, mm-hmm. But we, in that communal space where we have the main TV, it does turn off at 9 o'clock. So that's mm-hmm. kind of so-called bedtime. And that's when the residents are encouraged to go back there to their rooms. They can continue to watch TV in their rooms if they wish, or listen to the radio, whatever they wish to do in their mm-hmm. rooms. But that is when we kind of turn the lights down for the common space, just because you have some residents that go to bed early and right. be cognitive of that and right. Keep the noise level down when it starts to get late.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So what about security? Like, do they have their own key cards? How do they come in and out?
Keys for each room, and residents do. We have two copies. So we have a main one that we keep in case of emergency, mm-hmm. that we keep in the office. And then the resident can have their own key for their particular suite mm-hmm. so that they can come and go or lock it if they wish to when they're not in the building.
Okay. So it's not pet friendly, is it? Because I can imagine that would be a lot of problems to have pets there.
It's something I've debated back and forth. Like, I've had a recent inquiry from a woman that was looking for short-term stay over the winter. That's a big thing up here because a lot of residents, because they live on their own and it's a rural space with farming communities or places that are near the lake, a lot of them will look for a short-term stay. They won't stay at the home because there's not a lot of great snow removal services and stuff like that. Like, it's difficult for them to manage their outside spaces. We do get a lot of snow up here.
Okay.
So she has asked about a pet. I haven't made a decision yet.
Yeah. Sorry for asking.
I know. I'm not sure kind of what I'm going to do with that case yet.
So I don't think you should have it because I think it's going to complicate things. And then you know what I mean? And then there are phobias. And that's the thing too. A lot of people don't realize that some people have phobias for dogs. Right.
Yeah.
People are not as comfortable with dogs. And then it's another thing for them to manage. And
everybody thinks that their dog is friendly. Exactly. And they're not going to do anything. And
exactly.
They're well behaved.
Exactly. And then your insurance is going to be way up because what if someone gets bitten by a dog, God forbid? Right.
Yeah.
It's going to be much way up.
And happens.
And cleaning is going to be a problem as well, too, because, you know, I haven't visited yet. I promised to visit, but I'll come soon. But, I mean, you know, cleaning and the smell and cats and stuff like that. So I think you should just keep it just people.
Yeah.
I think
you're right. I'm kind of leaning that way anyway. So I think you probably convinced me.
Yeah. And then, too, you know, what you could do is as you grow, then you could have a section for, you know, pet friendly section, you know.
Yeah.
You know, or you can have a part where, you know, family can visit with pets. Like, you can have a little part where, you know, the pets can visit and they can have treats and, you know, water bowls and they can meet other pets and stuff like that. But I don't think you can complicate what you're doing right now, because I think you're you know, you've been through a lot clearly, and right now you're smooth sailing. So just enjoy it for a bit. Enjoy it before you know, complicate it anymore. So tell me about visitation. So are there times, or like, can family just come anytime that they want to? How is that?
Yeah, we're pretty open for visitation. We did have restricted visitation during the COVID pandemic because we had to be able to really control who was coming in and out of the home. But now that a lot of those restrictions have been lifted, it is fairly open. Residents or visitors are just asked to sign in and out just for fire regulations, so we know who's in the building and who's out.
Right.
Residents are, like I mentioned before, are free to come and go as they please. They're even welcome to go out with family for weekend visits or extended stay. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we're fairly open. That's the big difference between retirement and long-term care, right? Is that we're much more flexible in terms of the comings and goings of our residents.
Well, everything is so well thought out, and you have all this care, and you know, you make sure that they're attended to. What about special need diets? Because I know some of them might be vegetarian, some might be diabetic, some might be. How do you handle that? Like, do you have different foods cooked for different people, or what do you do? Tell me about that.
It depends. So, like, we do have a diabetic who's with us right now, and he's also has a dairy allergy. So he supplies his own oat milk that we use, that the kitchen will use when preparing for him anything. He brings in his own cheese. So depending on what's on the menu, we will offer a specific alternative for him. Some things he can eat, no issue, that we prepare for meals. But if there is something that has cheese in it, we might prepare him something similar, but using his special cheese and
Understood.
No dairy in it, right?
Understood.
We just make a modified version of what's on the menu for his specific needs. And if it's something that we can't prepare like that, we'll have an alternative meal for him. All residents are offered an alternative because they may not like what's on the menu for that day anyways. So our actually regulatory body requires that we offer an alternative.
Right.
So for each lunch and supper menu item, if they want the alternative, we can offer them an alternative to what's on the menu.
Right. But they can have their little snacks in their room. Like they can have mini fridges.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We have a few residents. They have like a little mini fridge in their room. And like I said, they come and go. So they'll bring back snacks and stuff that they have in their rooms. But we do also offer snacks mid-afternoon and mid-evening.
Okay. And that's included in the price of
yeah.
keep, right?
Huh. Yeah.
I think that's a, I want to move there. Jeez.
Beautiful view.
Beautiful view, and I have snacks. Yeah. and I have a choice of food and TV. Hey. I might just show up and no pets. That's perfect. Oh, wow. That's you know what? I'm really proud of you, Donna, because you've always been a hard and smart working entrepreneur, you know, and I've looked up to you for a long time. You helped me with my company when I was just trying to figure it out and everything. And I'm glad to see, I mean, it's, of course you would succeed, right? But I'm just glad to see that it's actually working out for you. And, you know, you just ran with it in the middle of chaos, in the middle of, and that's, you're just a champion because you just ran with it in the middle of the pandemic and everybody was cursing homes and nobody wanted to put their family back in homes because of the COVID and everybody was afraid of this and how people were treating people in homes. And it's just, you just kept, you really did it. Your head is, you know, above water and you're growing. So I would take my hats off to you for that. That's fantastic. But
thanks, Julia. Yeah.
It's a tough road, but you're built for it, man. So tell us, like, what do you want us to know about Waraton that we probably haven't covered? Tell us, you know, for the people that are listening, you know, tell us, and first of all, tell us where we can find you, how they can find you, and if there's a sign up sheet for, you know, if someone, you know, leaves, or, you know, because you only have 15 suites. So tell us how people can get in touch with you and what the process is, and also anything at all that we may have missed that you want us to know about.
Like I said, our website is WiretonRetirement.ca.
Mm-hmm.
And on there, you'll find information about our home. Our web form to book a tour. That's what we usually encourage our prospective residents to do, and their families, is, you know, come out, visit us, see the home, meet our staff,
mm-hmm.
You know, see where we are. The Bruce Peninsula is a beautiful place to retire. It actually statistically has a very high senior population.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people have cottages up here. It's home of Waraton Willie,
mm-hmm.
which is a huge event every year. A lot of hiking trails, beaches.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a very scenic, surreal area and a beautiful place to retire.
Mm.
So if you haven't visited it yet, I would encourage you to come visit the area for sure.
Yes.
And see if it might be somewhere where you might want to spend the rest of your days. Definitely more cost effective than mm-hmm. the big city.
Right.
Your retirement dollars will go further than right. in Toronto or the GTA. So
right. And you might meet a nice senior there. Right.
Exactly.
You know what? We laugh about it, Donna, but I talk to everybody. I talk to people all the time, right? And the other day, I was just watching, just taking a mental break, and there's people watching, and there's this older man. He was just sitting on the bench with me. We were in the mall. And, you know, I was just talking to him, and they do want to find love, you know, like they, you know, and it's, you know, he was widowed, etc. And he was talking about his wife, and he said that, you know, but he would mind to have what he called companionship.
Yes.
You know, he wouldn't mind to have companionship. And we were just talking, he wasn't talking about me. we were just talking, and he was just a nice older man with his Tim Hortons cup, you know. And they really are, they're so soft when you talk to them, you know, they're so, you know, there's something, and it's so sad the way how society kind of discards them, like they have nothing, no use left in society, yes, or nothing left to give, or, you know. But when you actually just sit down and just shut up and just talk to them, a wealth of knowledge, they're the kindest. Of course, you're going to
absolutely.
Right. You know, of course, yeah, you find some people that they, you know, they say, oh, mean old. But, you know, I haven't had that experience. All the old people that I just sit with and just have strike up a conversation with, they tell you some stories. You know what he told me? I was telling him that, and this is a tangent, but I was telling him that my grandfather went to World War II, and how, you know, we love the military and our family. We, you know, we respect them, and, you know, we have people in the Secret Service in America and people who are soldiers and so forth. And it started off with my grandfather, and he said, "Really?" He said, "I probably know your grandfather." I said, "Really?" He said, "Yes, he's a veteran too." And then, you know what he taught me? He said to me, "Did you know?" No, because I had some gum. And I offered him a piece, and he said, "Oh, thank you." And he said, "Did you know that Wrigley's did not sell gum all of World War II?" I said, "Really?" He says, "Yes, but they kept advertising." I said, "Really?" He says, "Yeah." He said, "Apparently there's a main ingredient in bubble gum that came from, is it the Philippines or somewhere, right? But they couldn't get it. So they had them and they rationed them." And he said to me that his wife and his son, they used to send care packages to them. And sometimes they would get a stick of Wrigley's, and it was so hard, because as soon as what they said to him was, as soon as there was a Wrigley's on the store shelf, it would be gone just like this. And it would just be one pack or two packs, right? Because they used to ration them out. They actually rationed out these things, right? Because they weren't readily available. And then he says, and because I was telling him about, you know, I like marketing, I said, I have a little marketing background, copywriter, etc. And he said, "So that's an advertising lesson for you." I said, "Really? I didn't know that. Nobody knows that." He said, "Well, I know it," because he lived it, right? He lived it.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, he was just a sweet, pleasant guy. God bless him, and I hope he's okay, you know. And he was just, you could tell that he was handsome back in his day too, right? He's still a charmer, right? And but yes. Nobody knows that. And he says that, and you would never know that, because the Wrigley's, they kept advertising. I guess they knew that one day their gums would, they would be able to make more gum again and keep advertising and keep selling it, right? Yeah. So little things like that. So that's why I really love, you know, I like to sit and talk to old people, you know, or I don't even like to call them old people, but I like to talk to everybody. But, you know, there's some.
I actually had a resident.
Yeah.
Who moved out to the Atlantic coast. He met a lady online. So he left. He lived here.
Going on Peter, man.
Sold his farms. Yeah. Packed up his van and he moved out there with her.
Why not, man? Why not? You can find love at any age. You can find love at any age, right?
Yeah.
It's just companionship. And that's what he said. He said, you know, what I miss most about my wife is the companionship. Mm-hmm. That's what he said. He said, you know, and it's nice, and he has all the memories, etc., etc. And, you know, it's just a really great conversation. So that's why, you know, when I see you think this through so much, I know that you do this out of respect for them. And I knew you before, and I know you take care of your parents. I know you take care of such care of the people in your family. And I know your heart. So I know that you had to make this right for the seniors. I know that. So I appreciate that, and I can see that. So that's why that story came up, because I'm sure you get jokes, Donna, about listening to them. Are you there?
I could write a soap opera, I think.
You should write
the events that happen in the retirement home.
Yeah, why retirement? Yeah, exactly. You know what is funny? You could probably do a little sitcom. Have you seen White Lotus, that hotel?
Yes.
That is funny. I don't know about a tangent, but probably you could write some stories. But it's good to sit and talk to them. And
absolutely.
I'm glad that you're creating a safe space for them. And, you know, life is for the living, man. We have to just keep living until the wheels fall off. So very thank you so much, Donna. But where are you? And tell us how they can find you on Facebook and on Instagram.
Yes, we have a Facebook page. Wyarton Retirement Residence. We're mm-hmm. also on Instagram, and we also are on LinkedIn. Wyarton Retirement Residence. Yeah.
Okay.
And
okay.
We post pretty regularly activities happening at the home and what's going on and facts and tips and lots of valuable information to share. So.
Yeah. And it's really
connect with us.
Yeah. Definitely. And it's really good for them to follow you and connect with you because they can see what's happening, just like how I could see them having their birthday parties and being happy and having cake and stuff. So I think it's really great what you're doing, Donna. Bless you and bless your efforts. And I wish you success. And people, limited space. Right now, she hasn't grown to more than 15 suites as yet, but soon she'll be growing. But right now, if it sounds like somewhere good for you, look it up and check it out and reach out to Donna because she'll be able to put you on the waiting list or, you know, things can happen and you can get a spot. So reach out to Donna and follow Wyarton.
Wyarton Retirement. So retirement.ca.
Okay, wyartonretirement.ca. Thank you, Donna, very much for being
here. Thank you, Julia.
Friends, you know we like to wind it all down for you with the quote of the day. And today's quote comes to us by Amy Weatherly. Let me say that again. Amy Weatherly. Yes. And she says, some people could be given an entire field of roses and only see the thorns in it. Others could be given a single weed and only see the wildflower in it. Perception is a key component to gratitude.
and gratitude, a key component to joy. Huh. Yes, 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 Miss Amy Weatherly. That was beautifully written. Let's hear that again. She says, some people could be given an entire field of roses and only see the thorns in it. Others could be given a single weed and only see the wildflower in it. Perception is a key component to gratitude, and gratitude, a key component to joy. End quote. Huh. I must say, Miss Amy Weatherly, I totally dig that.
Well, thanks for joining us today, friends, on the Not Your Child Road Safety Show. I hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. Remember, head to notyourchild.com/radio show to submit any questions, comments, or shout outs you want us to address on the next show. Until then, friends, I hope you continue having a lovely day. And remember, our golden rule, when you feel different, you drive different. Drive sober. Ciao.
Here it is another day, so dark and gloomy. My situation's real, sad and slowly gloomy. Because my love is not here for my kiss. All I have is thoughts of yesterday's bliss. Images of you stay on my mind. Anticipating and waiting for the clock to unwind. Anxiety plays me as dust turns to dawn. But I could take the weight, it won't be long. As confidence grows, I start to ready myself, steady myself, prepare myself for what lies ahead. As I dread the every minute I have to face without you here. Close but so far as the time draws near. How much more can I take? How much more? What can I do? Just hold on tight and be strong. I know I'll make it through. Now's the time for the needs to finally go away. I feel you near, and it's a lovely day. Together, meeting in places, the pleasure times we spent with.